You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Tuesday, the 2nd of March, 2021, and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at radioalbion.com. We've got a bit of news from Australia to get into today. I'm quite surprised by this. Australia's Home Affairs Minister has written to the country's opposition leader and all state and territory leaders to propose outlawing Sonnen Krieg Division, a UK neo-Nazi group, and listing it as a terrorist organisation. Now, this is a bit bizarre because I think this was actually begun by a boy in Estonia, a 13-year-old boy, and they're calling it a terrorist organisation, and as far as I'm aware, it didn't even exist in the real world. It was just a chat room group on Telegram. I don't know how many members it had. It seems that they were all children or autists. It was banned by the British government as a terrorist organisation, but certainly it never even existed in the real world. I mean, what are they doing banning a chat room group that has already been deleted? Are they concerned that somebody might start up another chat room group called Sonnen Krieg Division? Well, judging by what happened with National Action, what they did there when they banned National Action, they then said that anybody that subscribes to the sort of views that had been alleged National Action were presenting would mean that they were members. So there, essentially that means there would be no need for a membership list. It's just if people are doing similar things to what Sonnen Krieg Division were doing, then that means that they could be accused of being members of Sonnen Krieg Division. Going by the sort of thing that happened in these National Action trials. And what did the Sonnen Krieg Division do? Well, a young lad created a picture, like a cartoon picture, of Prince Harry being shot with something derogatory about race mixers written on the picture. And they used that as evidence that this was encouraging terrorist acts. So it may be that what they're doing here is they're trying to get this group banned in Australia as terrorists. And then if they see any memes which depict violent actions like that against royalty or against politicians, then they could say, well, the person that did this is clearly subscribing to the same views as Sonnen Krieg Division. Therefore, they come under the group Sonnen Krieg Division, even though they may have had nothing to do with this chat room when it was actually in operation. This seems to have been the precedent that was set with these National Action trials, which is of course concerning because National Action just started out as a young nationalist organization, and they had just typical nationalist views. As they went on, their views may have become more extremist, the material may have become more extremist. Certainly the evidence that was used against them shows that they were more extremist, and you would hope that it was this extremist side of it that they see as meaning that a person would be a member of a group like this. And by that, I mean, they were saying that they were calling for a race war, they were preparing for violence, all this sort of thing. Of course, people do talk about there being a race war, and there is a competition between the races, obviously. There is competition for Darwinian group selection. And some people say that all the white victims of black crime, they're victims in this war. That doesn't mean that people are preparing for a race war or are encouraging a race war. Obviously, I'm trying to prevent there being trouble between the races. I mean, the whole point of being an ethno-nationalist is that you want to avoid the friction and the conflict that comes in with multiculturalism. And it's not blaming these other races. As Max Musson was pointing out yesterday in Real Britannia, the problem is multiculturalism. And multiculturalism came about by our elected politicians encouraging it. So we're not encouraging hostility towards any of these other groups or blaming them for coming to our countries because we invited them. We know that it's a fault, or we know that it is white people that are at fault here. It's our elected representatives that are at fault. The other surprising thing about this is, I mean, they're saying that this is a UK neo-Nazi group. As I say, I think it was begun by somebody in Estonia. But I guess because it was in English language, it may have picked up some English members of the chat room. Why they would want to be banning it in Australia, I don't know. I guess maybe it's like Canada when they put down the Proud Boys as a terrorist organization. And the Proud Boys, I guess the Proud Boys do have chapters in other countries. I think there was a chapter in Britain. Perhaps there was a chapter in Canada that they were concerned about. It's very tempting to look at this as posturing and saying they're trying to create this image of nationalists being terrorists, so they want to draw as much attention as they can to these so-called far-right terrorist groups and pretend that they're much larger than they actually are. And I guess that is one part of it. But I think another side to it is that they're looking to be able to use this as a way to go after anybody that makes violent memes. And obviously, I wouldn't encourage anybody to make violent memes. The best memes are the funny ones, ones that make people laugh. Things that show something violent or something particularly gory are not helpful. I mean, if you're trying to draw attention to a terrorist atrocity, to say, well, we don't support terrorism, we don't like terrorism, we don't want terrorism in our country, I guess that is a legitimate thing to put on a meme. But the problem then is you could then be accused of putting that on there because you're trying to incite hostility against the group of people who unfortunately had some members who carried out the terrorist attack. And of course, this is the logic that's being used to go after Marine Le Pen in France. They're saying that when she retweeted an image of an ISIS atrocity, she was trying to inspire hostility against Muslims rather than drawing attention to what extremist Muslims have done. And she was doing that to say, look, you're saying that nationalists are terrorists. When have nationalists ever carried out beheadings, crucifixions, and all the rest of it? Which is it's a good argument to make. But the prosecution services, of course, are going to try and say, well, you're just trying to inspire hostility against this other group. So it's probably not a good idea to draw attention to these terrorist acts if you are a nationalist either. I do think the best memes to use are funny ones that are going to make people laugh. And then you can't be accused of intent to incite hatred, can you, if you're just trying to get people to laugh at the absurdity of the situation that we find ourselves in? And of course, the other way that they're trying to use the law to censor political dissidents at the moment is they're trying to expand the law, particularly in Britain. Again, I spoke a little bit about this in Real Britannia, and Mark Collette spoke about it in the Patriotic Alternative Monthly Review, which we had on the stream last night. And essentially, what this Committee for Countering Extremism have come up with is they're saying groups like Patriotic Alternative are doing nothing illegal. They're not inciting hatred. They're not promoting terrorism. So essentially, Patriotic Alternative are staying within the law. And then they're saying, well, because they're staying in the law, this is a problem, so we need to change the law. Which is really self-contradictory, because the laws are there so that we can stay within the law and not break the law. Obviously, we don't want to be breaking the law. And then when we do stay within the law, they decide that they want to change the laws, which is basically saying that they are personally targeting these groups for who they are and not what they are actually saying. And the really disturbing thing about that report is that it mischaracterizes Patriotic Alternative completely. It says that they're white supremacists. They're obviously not white supremacists. They're not calling for all non-whites to be removed from the country. And they're all about positive ethnocentrism. But that doesn't come across in this report at all. And they talk about these leaflets, that the leaflets that are being put out are hostile to ethnic minorities. And what's on the leaflets is just basic statistics that are agreed to by the government. They are the government's own statistics. And they're not being put out to frighten minorities or to be hostile to minorities. They're put out there to draw attention to the fact that white people, if we don't do something about this, will be a minority in our own countries within 40 years. And that's not blaming the minorities for that. That is blaming white people for that. That should not be seen in any way as being hostile to the minorities, because it was our people that invited them over here. Now, I don't see that the press are ever going to change. No matter what we do, the press are going to call us all these nasty names. But I don't think it would stand up in court that that is being hostile to ethnic minorities when it's just these statistics. And an issue that we do have is people will say, well, how can that be illegal to refer to the same statistics that they have in the newspapers? Or how can it be illegal to refer to the same things that the Jews talk about in the Jewish press, but when we talk about it, it suddenly becomes illegal? When the Jews are praising their success, it's completely legal. And yet when we say, well, this success means that we are having less success, what we say becomes illegal. And this is because it's all about the mindset now. It's all about this intent. And the prosecution will seek to show that there is some intent on your part to create hostility against these groups. And if they can find something that shows that you are hostile to these groups, then they can say, well, you are using these statistics because you're trying to encourage other people to be hostile to them. And of course, when you look at the same material that's in the newspapers or the same material that's in the Jewish press, it's quite obvious that the Jews are not talking about their successes because they're trying to be hostile towards Jews. But it could be said that some nationalists, when they talk about Jewish success, it is because they are trying to encourage people to be hostile to it. And this is essentially what this is all about. It's about mindset and what a person's intent is. And we try to be very clear here at Radio Albion that we do not begrudge any of these ethnic minority groups the success that they have, and we want them to be as successful as possible. We want them to be worthy challengers in this competition. The more skill sets that your competitors have, the more it forces you to improve. And we can see that there's been vast improvements among these ethnic minority groups in competing against us over the last century. And a lot of that has been because we have shared our technology with them, because we have been charitable to them, because we have put diversity quotas in place, we have put equal rights in place as far as the Jews were concerned. And essentially, this is the equivalent of us saying, okay, we will put a blindfold on and we'll put one hand behind our backs and then we'll compete. And that will give you a bit more of a helping hand. And that's the way that this needs to be looked at. We shouldn't be looking at these other groups and blaming them for their success. We wanted them to have that success. That's why we put these things in place. That's why we invited them into our country. And what it means is that we have a decent challenge there. We do have a decent challenge there as whites. And the way that we can rise to this challenge and win this competition is through positive ethnocentrism. I am firmly convinced that this is the winning strategy. We need to be doing everything that we can for our own people. We need to be as charitable as we can possibly be to our own people. And the only response that our competitors have to that is to accuse us of hate and to accuse us of being nice to people because we're really horrible. And that just looks ridiculous. When you've got a group like Patriotic Alternative that are organising litter picks in the park or are organising baking competitions or are going out and feeding the homeless, going on foraging days, doing all these positive things that are good for the community, that encourages people to join us, that strengthens our community. And this is what we're all about as nationalists, is forming a community. The idea of forming a political party and taking power, I mean, that maybe that could have been done 60 years ago, but it's not really possible today with the way that things are. But that's okay, because we can still form our communities. And the important thing is getting the message out and getting the message out to our people. And once you have people that understand the importance of race, it means they're going to teach their descendants that. It means their descendants are going to understand what a great gift they have in being white, and they're not going to want to destroy that. They're not going to want to destroy their descendants' inheritance. They're going to want to pass that on to their children. So all the while that we have white people who are, I guess, for want of a better term, racialized, it means we can't lose, because there will always be white people around. And the more we form these communities like Patriotic Alternative are doing, the more people are going to associate who they are with their family, because this is at the center of all of this, really, is that we've forgotten our identity. We've forgotten the fact that other whites are part of our extended family. Once we know that, once we can start working together again as a team, as an extended family, then the world is our oyster. You know, this is how we had all these great successes in the past, is because we were working together as a nation. We weren't working together as a united race of all whites, but we were working together in our separate nations. This is the reason why people were desperate to go and fight in the Second World War. They were quite happy to lay down their lives for their nation because they saw themselves as being part of an extended family. And we need to get that feeling back again among our people. And once we do, then we can't lose. We really can't lose. And that's the point of groups like Patriotic Alternative. It's not a political party that is looking to get elected and change everything. It's a community building exercise. It's a positive ethnocentrism exercise. And once people are awake to what is going on, then they're not going to fall for the traps, are they? And they're going to be speaking to people about how a lot of the initiatives that we see that have been started in society do not benefit white people, but particularly don't benefit the indigenous British people, if you're looking at it from the immediate national viewpoint. And a lot of these policies and initiatives that are put in place, they benefit these other people groups. So if we are supporting these initiatives, we're not actually benefiting our own people. We are essentially working for these other groups, which is maladaptive behavior. It shows that you're a masochist, really. If you were doing that individually, it would mean that you were individually self-harming. And that's what we're doing as a nation. We are self-harming ourselves and doing so in the hope that it's going to benefit these other groups. And that's what we need to turn around. And the only way we can do that is by making changes ourselves. We cannot ask these other groups to do the same and also be maladaptive and work against their own best interests. It's us, it's white people that are doing that. And it's white people we need to reach out to and to target with our message. Now, this is something else that needs to be made clear. with these leaflets. They are aimed at white people. They're not aimed at non-whites. What would be the point in sending messages to non-whites saying white people are going to be a minority within 40 years? I mean, they're going to look at that and just think, well, so what? Well, that's good news for us, isn't it? It means that there's going to be more of us around and less of you. So it's obviously not hostile to these other groups to put that message out there. The point of putting that message out there is to get whites to start thinking as a group again and stop thinking of ourselves as atomized individuals. Once you do start thinking of yourself as a member of a wider family, the extended kinship group, life really does improve and you feel a much better sense of direction and of who you are and of why you are here and what the point of life is. We're not put here to be individuals. We are put here to further the best interests of our extended kinship group. Just as everything was provided for us when we were children, everything that our ancestors built was built upon and was given to us, we are supposed to improve upon that and then pass that down to our children. And it's the same with the genetic inheritance. If you wish to honour your father and your mother, then that means you need to marry someone who looks like your father or your mother and every one of your fathers and mothers before that. Because when you see that in the Ten Commandments, you think, oh yes, but which father and which mother is it talking about? Grandfather, grandmother, great-great-grandfather, great-great-grandmother? Well, the only way that you can honour all your ancestors is to make sure that you pass on exactly the same inheritance you were given onto your descendants. That means you don't race mix. And again, if you do that, and everybody was to do that, then we would stay at the size that we are at now, and we wouldn't lose this competition. All the while that there are white people in the world, we have not lost the competition. And all the while there are white people in the world, there's always the chance that we are going to regain that sense of unity that we once had. Now, I pointed out that we had this sense of unity as nations, and we didn't have the sense of unity as a race, but there was a certain understanding of that. About 100 years ago, there was a certain understanding of the West, and that's actually what was referred to as white supremacy. It meant the supremacy of the rule of law, civilization, all the things that come with civilization. And the worry was that with the opening of the borders, with the allowing of unchecked immigration, that the supremacy of all the trappings of civilization would fail. And when we were looking at civilization like that, particularly in America, where you had not just one nation there, but many white nations, that was seen as a culmination of everything that had gone on before in Europe. So with the advent of America, there was an understanding that whites were all part of the same race. And that was reflected in the Constitution over there, where it says we take these things to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. And the reason why that was written is because they had Negroes there, and Negroes were not considered men in law. So what they were saying there is when you compare a white man to a Negro, all whites are equal and all Negroes are equal. Obviously, if you just have white men on their own and you're not comparing them to anything else, then you can't say that they're all equal. They're obviously not equal. That when you compare them to another group, say, and it doesn't have to be blacks, I mean, they could be comparing white people to Chinese or white people to Eskimos. And again, they could say, well, all white men are equal and all Eskimos are equal. So there was a sense then of us all being part of the same race. And then with the advent of World War II, that was really destroyed, this idea that we were part of the same people, because it was essentially brother nations going to war against brother nations. And if you have two brothers going to war, then the family can only lose. Nobody can win. Nobody could have won that war. And the outcome of that war was everything that we see around us now. We are now living with the results of going to war against the idea of having ethnically based societies. I mean, that's what National Socialism was. It was saying we want to have an ethnically based society. We want to have a state that represents the interests of the people, and we want that people to be the members of the state that make all the decisions. And because we went to war against that idea, at the end of the war, it was put in place that could not happen again, which meant that we put in place multiculturalism, which meant that all the white nations, well, all the Western white nations, because communism tried to take over these other nations around the world, but it didn't encourage multiculturalism in communism. But in the West, we encouraged multiculturalism, and we invited these other peoples to come into our country. And the general idea behind that was so that an ethno-state could not rise again. And particularly the Jews were concerned about this, and they had their think tanks, and their think tanks got together. And the main concern that they had was that they didn't want an ethno-state to rise again, because an ethno-state would, by definition, it would exclude Jews from that. But the Jews have their own ethno-state in Israel. But the idea is they wanted to still be able to live among the other peoples and have their own ethno-state. And as nationalists, we say, well, that's, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. But why is it that we can't have the same? Why can we not have our ethno-states in Europe? And if we want to live among other peoples, why can we not go to one of these other new countries? And the Americans probably won't like me saying this, but America already was multicultural. Why couldn't we have America as multicultural, and the countries in Europe, why could we not have them as ethno-states, as homelands for our own people? So we could have the best of both worlds. The Jews get the best of both worlds. They have their ethno-state in Israel, and they can choose to live among multicultural states in Europe and America, if they wish. So we're only really asking for equal rights along with everybody else. And it's not just the Jews that have their ethno-state in Israel. China has an ethno-state. Japan has an ethno-state. All the countries in Africa, they have ethno-states. It is only the European countries that don't have that. And it's because we have lost our sense of identity, and we've lost our sense of unity through that. We have lost our sense of purpose. We've just become mindless consumers. And this is what we really need to be speaking about and drawing people's attention to, and giving them a purpose once again, and making that purpose be to love your race and do what you can for your race. Do what you can for your immediate family. Do what you can for your extended family. And on the world stage, do what you can for other whites. I mean, it's great meeting other nationalists from other countries and learning about how much they love their people and learning about their history. And it just really gives you a sense of pride. And we need a sense of pride. We shouldn't be feeling guilt for who we are. We should be thinking about the great things that we did. And when we're thinking about multiculturalism, we shouldn't be thinking of it with horror. We should be thinking, well, that was a very charitable thing that we actually did. It was very charitable that we invited these people into our countries. But we need to find some way to deal with that, where we are still able to preserve our own people amongst these other groups. And you can see why the Jews find, you know, are going to find this very, very funny, because they've been doing that for the last 2,000 years. They've lived amongst multicultural societies, and they've managed to keep their group together. So I'm sure they must find it highly entertaining to see the fact that it's now white people that have these multicultural places, and it's white people that are being concerned about keeping our group together. So you can see from that it's all swings and roundabouts, and there's nothing new under the sun. this competition that we are in, this has been going on since life on Earth began. And I do think we are going to win it, simply because we are the best. And anybody is going to say that about their own people group. I'm not saying that because I'm some kind of white supremacist. I do believe in my people. I do believe in our people. And I think we are going to win this. And when we do win it, we'll be able to say that we really deserve to have won it, because we will have won it against insurmountable odds. And again, this is why you have to give credit to the Jews, because they were a very, very small minority, and they've managed to work their way up to gaining all this influence against insurmountable odds. So it benefits Jews, it benefits us, it benefits these ethnic minorities to have this competition. And that's the way we need to be looking at it. And if we look at it in that way, then we can't be accused of expressing hostility to these groups. And it's the right way to look at it. It's the white way to look at it. Anyway, thank you very much for listening. I will be back tomorrow with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.